And finally, let's take a break from politics and sit back and listen to the Armenian oud master, Richard Hagopian. The Selma resident has been playing the oud, similar to the lute, since he was a kid. He's 82 now. This Saturday, he'll be speaking and performing at a public memory event at Fresno State, documenting the history of local Armenian music production in the San Joaquin Valley. He'll join Yektan Turkyilmaz, a cultural anthropologist who teaches in Berlin, but is helping to curate this collection. News director Alice Daniel spoke to both of them at Hagopian's home.
Yektan, let's start with you. You're asking the public to contribute photographs, sheet music, promotional materials to be scanned and archived for the Armenian Studies Department. What's the history of Armenian music in the Valley that compels this request?
Armenian music history actually is not only an Armenian music history to begin with. First of all, it is an American history. It's a shared, you know, in many ways, it's a shared experience of various immigrant groups in the country, in the United States, going back to like the late 19th century, all the way to like, you know, early 20th and all up to today, perhaps. And second thing, it is also a very Armenian story, because Armenians were like many, had an experience which is comparable to many other groups, but it also, they also have a unique history, you know, especially with the massacres and the genocide. And it became a group, a diaspora group, without a homeland as of 1915. So this the recordings here reflected that experience. And also this history is a very Fresno's history. It reflects the life conditions, what they were, aspirations, everyday life in the valley. And it's from those points of view, this is invaluable material, not regarding only music, but also the social history of the valley.
I know these materials help to contextualize a collection of locally produced 78 RPM albums. What's the cultural significance of these recordings in the San Joaquin Valley?
I think they are very significant in the sense of, like, you know, not only about, like, you know, reflecting what, but like, you know, these people were dealing with their everyday lives, but also I think they are very significant for to see the transition, the transformation, how those communities were changing, you know, culturally, linguistically, socially. And from that respect, I think these recordings are very significant.
One more question. Are public sharing events to gather materials that have some historical significance becoming more common, and how do they serve the public?
Actually, you know, Fresno had a very vivid musical life. And believe it or not, I mean, when you, I mean, give a talk here about music, everyone finds someone, like, you know, in their family involved in this process. So it's not only that, like, you know, you are, like, you know, putting the different, you know, material people has have in contact, but also it's basically, you know, it's connecting people, because really, I mean, that it touches everyone in the community. So which is kind of like, you know, events like this, especially like, you know, if you're talking about particularly the event on our event on Saturday, is going to kind of like, you know, revive or refresh those connections.
So here's a broader question I'll ask of you, Richard. What role has music played in the Fresno Armenian American community, especially in the first half of the 20th century?
There were those Armenians who immigrated here. There were very few before the genocide, 1915, but most of them came, I'm going to say, between 1917 until 22, and even later. And some of them went on farms. Most of them stayed in town. You might say that they formed an Armenian ghetto around the Armenian Holy Trinity Church in that area. First, because they didn't know the language. Second, they felt a lot safer living together, speaking the language. And it was very unique because they came from all over the Ottoman Empire. They came from southeast Turkey, they came from central Turkey, and they came from around Constantinople area. So you might say that the music was sort of divided. You had those who came from the area of Constantinople, they played and sang a different mode of music. But those who came from the Anatolian plateau and southeast, they did mostly village music. And in those days, of course, there was just a radio. So the mode of entertainment, even when I was growing up, was the phonograph and records. So when people visited one another, it wasn't unusual that they'd put the record on, they'd bring some drinks, and they'd bring some mazza and stuff. And they would listen, they'd get up and dance to some of the folk songs. And these people brought with them their traditions and their folk songs from their areas. Of course, they were young too at the time, you know. And along with them bringing the dance, they also musicians came. We had plenty of musicians here.
Tell us about some of your own early experiences with musicians here in the Valley. Were you learning from recent immigrants?
Some of them would come to my father's house because he used to make homemade liquor, and they'd have fun dancing, playing music. And then when I start playing, they were sort of amazed at where'd this kid come from, you know, because they were all older people. Being they were from other areas in Turkey, and being that in those areas they came from, they played those songs and those dances that were traditional to that area. So I learned all of them. You know, you'd play with them, you'd learn them. And then after a while, when I got older, I formed my own groups. I formed 2-3 groups, you know. And I played with, I'm going to say the majority of the older musicians that were here from the old country, I played with them. I was very fortunate because that gave me a great experience of learning firsthand the music like it was played. It was very traditional. You know, since that time, the music has progressed to a more modern, a little bit different sound. In fact, I watch the steps, the one they're dancing in, and it's changed tremendously. There's hardly any of the authentic traditional dance steps left.
You did a kind of shared memory project when you were a young kid growing up in Fowler, right? Asking questions of your elders about the role music played in Armenia, how music changed over time. That must have had an enormous influence on you.
Yes, I was very interested at the time. In fact, I spent more time with the older generation than with the people my own age. And while I was very young, my peers used to call me the old man because I was more interested in hearing their stories. You know, at that time, the men would sit in one room, the women would sit in another room, and they wouldn't talk about the genocide part of it. And then if they were saying some stories that they didn't want me to hear, you know, because I learned Armenian at a very early age, probably the same as when I learned English. When I learned to speak, I learned to speak Armenian and Turkish too, because my mother's side, they were from an area where they weren't allowed to speak Armenian, so they were Turkish-speaking. So my father's family, they were very fluent in Kurdish. So when I'd come in the room to hear what they were talking about, one of my great uncles would say in Armenian, "There's a fly on the wall." And then they would change to Kurdish because I didn't know that language.
Did you learn Kurdish?
No. No, because they didn't speak it frequently, only when they had to keep something away.
And you collected old photos and documents about these musicians. Will some of these be scanned on Saturday,
or,
yes, they or are
will.
They already part of a collection?
Well, they have. I put some in the Fresno Museum at the fairgrounds. They dedicated a section to me in this museum, and I've put some of those photos there. And I'm going to take some old posters and some old photos of what I have, and they will be scanning them. Of course.
Well, thanks to both of you, Richard Hagopian and Yektan Turkelmaz, for joining me today. The public scanning event is from 1 to 3 on Saturday at the University Business Center, and the two of you will participate in a discussion and performance from 3:30 to 5. Thanks again.
That's correct.